First reading on the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus. I don't know if it's just me, but has anybody noticed in the past few weeks that there's an emphasis on asking God for wisdom and knowledge in our lessons, both, you know, actually all of our lessons? We know that people who give their lives over to Jesus because they've received faith in Him are like spiritual newborns, right? Now, those of us who are lifelong Lutherans, when we received faith, it was probably at our baptism as a baby, and so we were quite literally babies. You see, when we're physically born, our spirits are of this world. And by that I mean, you know, the carnality, the fleshly desires, of the world. And so Jesus said that our spirits needed to be reborn. They needed to become of God. And so Jesus said that that's when we recognize God. And we recognize that He, Jesus, came to save us from this worldly carnal sin that we inherit, and also the sin that we create ourselves. But when faith comes to us to believe in Jesus, are we mature in our spirits? Do we have all the answers? Do we have all the wisdom that we need to guide us through this world and get us ready for the next? Now, I'm hoping that everybody in their minds is saying, no, no, that's not, we're not mature. God wants us to grow spiritually. He doesn't want us to stay like newborn Christians forever. You know, it's like a newborn baby needs to grow to become mature, so our spirits need to grow to become mature too. Now, when I was a child, small child, I used to love to go out in my backyard. And I used to love to dig in the dirt. You know, and I see some of you, some heads nodding too, so you did it too. You know, like to dig down and you like to dig out holes and then you pile it up. And then I'd get my construction trucks and stuff out there and I'd just move dirt. And I would have this big construction company going on in my backyard. And then sometimes I would even make a racetrack out of it. And I'd get my cars out and I'd race around the racetrack that I created. And I love to dig in the dirt. Or maybe you've seen a newborn or a small baby. When they put him outside, you know, he'll crawl around in the dirt. He loves the dirt. He loves to play with the dirt. Sometimes he likes to eat the dirt, you know. But babies think the dirt, and young kids think the dirt is a good toy. It's something to explore, right? Well, the parents have to watch them to make sure that they don't eat it. But seeing a child play in the dirt is no big deal, is it? Because, you know, that's what babies do. That's what young kids do. But if you ever saw a 21-year-old man sitting in the dirt, digging the dirt, playing with his cars, maybe trying to eat some of it, now that would mean that there's something wrong, right? But the only difference is age. But we know that a 21-year-old should be mature enough to know the dirt is not a toy. Unfortunately, there's way too many Christians still playing in the dirt of this world. Even though they may have been a Christian for quite a number of years. They don't have the depth of spiritual maturity to know that their worldly pursuits are corrupting. They're not mature enough to realize that they can't just come to church every once in a while and then just say they're a Christian on Sunday morning and then go about pursuing their non-God-pleasing agenda the rest of the week. I know because I used to be there. I used to be in that dirt. But God got a hold of me. And He had me grow in my spirit enough to realize that in the dirt was not where I was supposed to be. Now, God gives all of us maturity if we desire it, to realize where we are supposed to be. And that's close to Him. That's next to Him. And He gives us maturity to know what we're supposed to be doing. And that is to worshiping Him like we're doing today and carrying out His will for our lives. And that will includes sharing the gospel message, the message of the cross to people so that their spirits can be reborn as well. Well, in keeping with this theme, we see in our second lesson that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is frustrated. He's frustrated with the Christians that are in the Corinthian church. Now, Paul established that church in his previous missionary journeys. And he taught them the truth of salvation through Jesus and began the process of having them mature in their spirit. He even set leaders like Apollos up there to help them mature. But he was receiving reports back from Corinth that they weren't maturing. They were remaining, as he calls, spiritual infants. Now, there are reasons. I'm sure some of the reasons had to do with Corinth being a big city. It was like a seaport city, and there was a lot of people coming in and out. There was a lot of corruption. There was a lot of immorality. And the Corinthian Christians were pressured to accommodate that corruption rather than just outright reject it. They knew about the sinful lifestyle because they had been in it. But they had been lifted out of that worldly mud, if you will, by Paul when he taught them about Jesus. They had received faith in Jesus and their spirits were reborn. But I'm sure they still had family and friends that were still in that mud of that city. And so there was a natural tendency to not be too vocal about their Christian beliefs. And consequently, the immorality and the corruption seeped into the church so much so that they failed to grow, they failed to mature, and Paul was upset about it. And Paul had to call them out on it. And he said in our lesson today, he said, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready for it. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" You see, when we're given faith in Jesus, we're reborn in our spirits and we're not mere humans anymore, meaning worldly humans. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of God. We're children of God. And as God's children, we should be growing day after day so that we mature in our faith, so that we can be of use to God in His kingdom here on earth, so that we can become closer and closer to Jesus, which is what all of us should be striving to do. And by doing so, we inherit the kingdom of God, and we are rewarded with all the blessings that go along with that. Paul found that the Corinthian Christians were not doing that. And so Paul had to remind them that they were to eat solid food rather than continuing to exist on spiritual milk or even less. Now, this is not the only time in our Scripture. If you go to another book of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 5. The writer there was admonishing the Jewish Christians who because of their immaturity, they were even thinking about doing away, giving up their faith in Jesus and going back to Judaism. And so the writer wrote this. He said, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God, God's Word, all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You see, when we lack spiritual maturity, we're not very good workers for God in His kingdom. When we lack spiritual maturity, we're susceptible to Satan's lies and to the world's temptations that want to suck us in. Even to the point of falling away from our Christian faith, like the Jews that he was talking about. Well, my question for us today is, are we growing in our walk with Jesus? Now, some of us are. I know some of us are, and that's excellent. That's great. Those people will be mature servants for God to do His work here on earth. But there's some of us that are remaining as spiritual infants, and as such, we're susceptible to the temptations and the corruptions that can destroy us in the end. Now, I believe that how we mature has a role to play too. And I don't know if I've used this analogy before, but you know, since we're in Tallahassee, I thought it would be a good analogy to use. Because Tallahassee is a big tree-loving town, right? Well, we know about trees. We know if there are some trees, if you plant them out there, and as they grow, their root system is spread out. You know, it goes over a very large area. The problem with that is that they're shallow. They don't go very down into the soil. Now, normally, that suits the tree pretty well. But when a storm comes along, like Hurricane Hermine, those trees have a tendency to fall over and to die. Well, we also know there's other trees, if you plant them out there, their roots go way down. They go down into the earth, and they have a good anchor down there, so that when the storms come along, they have less of a tendency to fall over and be destroyed. God wants all of our roots to be set deeply into Him, so that we can survive the storms of life that will inevitably come to us. And the only way that can happen is if we spend time studying His Word, learning about Jesus, praying for His wisdom and discernment. In other words, becoming spiritually mature. Well, how do we do that? For starters, we can ask God for His wisdom, for His discernment, and I've talked to you about that a couple weeks ago. But we also need to be bathed in His Word. We need to be bathed in His Scripture, because that's where the solid food is found. I mean, infants grow if you give them food, right? First milk, like Paul mentioned. Spiritual milk. What would spiritual milk be? Well, it would be like simple truths about Jesus. You know? Truths about salvation through Him. Truths about what the Bible is. Truths about the basics of what we believe as Christians. And then we can progress into more solid food. You know, I was thinking about Martin Luther, this being the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And I was thinking about, you know, what he taught and how he developed his catechisms, which we use today, so that Christians, he developed them so that Christians, especially children and new Christians, would have a consistent, a basic written text about Christian belief that they could learn, they could read over and over and over again, that they could even memorize. Because Luther found that there was an appalling state of Christian maturity in the churches around Germany when he visited them. And this would have been roughly the 1520s. And it moved him to publish what he called catechisms that we even use today. Now, I want to read you an excerpt that Luther wrote about what he found when he went out on his visits to other churches. Luther said, "The deplorable, miserable condition which I discovered lately when I too was a visitor has reinforced and urged me to prepare this catechism or Christian doctrine in this small, plain, simple form. Mercy! Good God, what manifold misery I beheld! The common people have no knowledge whatever of the Christian doctrine, and alas, too many pastors are altogether incapable and incompetent to teach. Nevertheless, all maintain they are Christians. Yet, they cannot recite either the Lord's Prayer or the Creed or the Ten Commandments. They live like dumb brutes and irrational swine." Whoa! Man, did he call them out? Wow. So, Luther, like Paul, had a heart for wanting Christians to grow in their faith. And so he published those basic Christian truths, which were basically taken from his sermons. Basic truths like, what are the Ten Commandments and what do they mean? Basic truths like, what are the petitions of the Lord's Prayer and what do they mean? What are the basic beliefs that we express in the Apostles' Creed? What are the sacraments that we administer? I mean, you know, we say the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed almost every Sunday, don't we? That's so that it can become ingrained in us, so that we can recite it, so that we can know it, so that we can memorize it, so that we can then mature from there. You know, we can go deeper. So that, you know, when we come, our spirits are fed through the body and blood of Jesus. Christ's body and blood every Sunday. Our spirits are fed and we mature week after week as we come to worship week after week. And then as we grow, we can seek more and more solid food for our spirits. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, what does this solid food look like? You know, give me an example. I'll give you an example. Our example is in our gospel lesson today. And notice how Jesus taught the people that he was teaching in the gospel lesson today. They were the Jews that were, you know, they were listening to him, but they presumably had familiarity with what we call the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, which is Moses' law. And they would have, those laws would have been written on the temple scrolls, and the rabbis would have unrolled them week after week and picked a portion and read it to the people and maybe discussed it. And so they would have heard what we call the Ten Commandments and what they mean and other portions of the law that Jesus went over. And I'm sure most of them thought they had a pretty good grasp on what the commandments were and probably thought they were in pretty good standing, you know, enough to say well, I haven't broken any of them. Or so they thought. Until Jesus came and gave them some more solid food. He met them where they were spiritually. He knew that they knew pretty much what the commandments were because they'd heard it week after week from the rabbis. But then he took them to a higher level. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, Moses' time, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' which is an insult, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Now, he referenced the commandment that they were familiar with. But then he lifted his teaching higher than that of Moses when he said, but I tell you. You know, you might have not murdered anyone, but if you become angry enough with a brother or sister, you're in danger of breaking the commandment. You're violating Jesus' command to love one another. Well, Jesus continued, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. We're all in trouble. Who hasn't done that? Jesus went on. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital infidelity, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You see, Jesus was taking their understanding of the commandments to a higher level. And the reasoning behind why God gave the commandments to begin with. Not only was this more solid food for the people to take in, but I'm sure people back then, as well as people reading this for the first time today, started choking on that solid food. Because it was more than they had ever considered. And yet, here was God explaining what God meant. Of course, the point is, the law shows us that we've all sinned. You can't escape the consequences of sin by trying to keep the law perfectly. Because no one is perfect. No, not one. Except for Jesus. Jesus kept the law perfectly. What Jesus wanted the people to know and wanted us to know is that the commandments are not a way to salvation. They are a means to show the way to salvation through Jesus. We all sin. We all need a Savior to take our sins away. And that Savior was standing right in front of them. All of Jesus' teachings, if you get into it, they're on a higher level. They're multi-layered. And they require some, I guess what you would call, some intellectual chewing to get the full flavor, to get the full benefit, to get the full understanding of God's Scriptures, God's teachings. In other words, solid food. So what does this mean for us? Well, first, God wants us all to mature and not remain as spiritual infants. Too many of us had one foot in Christianity and the other foot in the mud puddles of this world. We all need to live our lives every single day in the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And we need to grow the way that God wants us to grow. Not just on Sunday mornings, but each and every day. A way to grow is to begin with prayer. Prayer for God to help us see where He wants us to grow, how He wants us to grow. By studying His Word on a daily basis. By praying for God to have His Holy Spirit show us the insight, show us the solid food that is contained in His Scripture. By attending Bible classes where we can discuss what we've read with other Christians so that we can get into a deeper understanding. You know, Pastor's Digging Deeper series is an excellent way to do that, to get started with that. And then by, again, coming to our worship services on Sunday, every Sunday, to thank Him, to praise Him, to have Him nourish us with His Word, with His body and His blood, and with His presence. And as we mature, we'll be equipped more and more with His with the fruit of His Spirit that will help us serve Him in this kingdom here on earth. That's a great way for our spirits to mature. Fellowship with other believers. Practicing stewardship. Telling others. Witnessing about Jesus. All of these ways mature our spirits and help us to do even more in God's kingdom. My friends, I hope that you won't be content with being spiritual infants in Christ. I hope that each and every one of us will want to grow to be mature workers for Christ in this world. Let's be mature workers. That's what God wants us to be. My question is, do you want to be mature? I hope that everyone is answering that, yes. I pray that that's so. Amen? Amen.